This is Wayne Ivey, pastor of First Christian Conroe, welcoming you to our Sunday morning worship podcast. But before we begin our worship together, I want to take just a moment to acknowledge the terrible event that's happened this past week. A black man named George Floyd was basically murdered by a white police officer who had his knee on his neck. George was on the ground, face down, his hands cuffed behind him, pleading with the officer that he could not breathe. And for over 8 minutes, the officer kept his knee on his neck until he killed him. What on earth is going on? You know, in the early 90s, I was the co-host of an event. Reverend Marilyn Fidmont and I, we co-chaired an event at University Christian Church, our historically black congregation down close to TSU. And the event was called the First Multiracial Cultural Context Event in Houston. It was a rather unwieldy title for the event. Our goal was for the different cultures and races to come together and continue the conversation of how we can get along better. And we had a really good event. Marilyn Fidmont has gone on. She is now the vice president of the Christian Church Foundation. And I've served here for 6 years and was at Taylor Lake for about 23 years before. So we've had a good long career since then. We were both young and idealistic, and we believed we could make a difference. And if someone had told us back in the early 90s that almost 30 years later an event would happen like happened in Minneapolis, we would have said we wouldn't have believed it, that we would have moved far beyond that by now. And we haven't. We must figure out as a people how we can really live out the words of our founders, all men are created equal. Even they left women out of that sentence. And the very men who wrote those beautiful sentences of our founding made their living on the backs of enslaved people from Africa. We still need to repent of the sin of racism. This next Sunday, June the 7th, we will have our first worship service back in the sanctuary. We will meet at 10:45 for worship. It will be a relatively short service, and we will be practicing good social distancing and the other guidelines that are recommended for getting together during this COVID pandemic. So be sure and mark that on your calendars. Today is Pentecost Sunday. That is the birthday of the church. Pentecost, it comes from a Greek word meaning 50, and it was 50 days after the resurrection. It also harkened back to ancient Israel, and there was a feast back then that was called the Feast of the First Fruits or First Harvest, and that was done about the same time of the year. So this is an ancient holiday that we are celebrating Sunday. I would ask you now to take a few moments to prepare yourselves to be in an attitude of worship.
Shouldn't say, but the Spirit of Jesus gave me words.
We begin our worship experience with a responsive call to worship. And your response will be, "Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts." Let's begin. The Lord said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts. And you shall be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Alleluia. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts. Let's be at prayer together. Kindling Spirit, build well the fire in our hearts this day. Fan us to flame that we will all see the Christ presence of love blazing in our midst. Burn the witness on our tongues. Christ's Spirit moves among us. Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, has set His church on fire with strength and boldness and power. Kindling Spirit, build well the fire in our hearts this day. We continue our prayers, O God, by lifting up those who are affected by this pandemic. We pray for the families of those who have been lost to this disease. We pray for the caregivers and health workers and all those whose job is to help bring our people back to health. We pray for those who have lost their jobs and are in a time of despair. Allow them to know your healing grace. Lord, we pray for those on our own hearts this day, that you would be with them in ever new ways, showing them your love, granting them your graceful presence. God, we continue to pray to you in the way that Jesus taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation. My song, praising. in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song.
In Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, he writes a long passage about the church as one body with many members, each of whom has been given something by God's Spirit to be used for the common good. I want you to take just a moment and close your eyes if you want to, and think of the people who make up our church family. Picture them if you can. Think of the people, perhaps, who are in the choir. Or picture our elders at service or deacons. Picture those who work in the food pantry or the soup kitchen. Picture those who work in stewardship efforts, who help with the offering, or those who help prepare communion. Think about them. Think of their faces. Think of their names. Imagine how marvelous it is when each person utilizes his or her own gift for the common good. You know, not everyone can sing or cook or mow the lawn or pack care packages or serve in the soup kitchen or do the treasurer's job. But all those are gifts of someone. Our offering time provides a way for each of us to transform each of our giving. Your gifts make it possible for us to provide leaders, for groups, for Bible class, for worship, for choir. Your gifts make it possible for this church family to witness to God's desire for peace, justice, and community in the world. You are an integral part of the body of Christ. So am I. So please join with me and Mary Louise this morning in offering what you can, what you brought, your gifts together. Donate over our website or just send them into the church. But your gift is important because it represents your commitment to God. O God, who makes all winds that blow, we rejoice as we present these gifts to you. You fill us with the breath of life, and we give thanks, knowing that we are all one and we all have what you have given us, and that we are yours and yours alone. So we pray that you will renew these lives, these gifts, inspire us to greater generosity, even as we come before your throne. On this Pentecost day, O God, breathe your Spirit into what we give and unto us. Amen. It's at this time that we come around the Lord's table together. The gift of this table is one of the most precious gifts that we have as a church. I invite you to take your elements and partake at this time. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the Passover with those whom he loved so dearly. After the meal, he took the loaf. He broke it. He blessed it. He passed it among them, telling them to eat, that this was his body broken for them. In that same manner, after the meal, he took the cup, Elijah's cup of community and welcome. After blessing it, he passed it among them, telling them to drink all of it, that this was a cup of the new covenant sealed with his sacrifice. We come after those first followers, celebrating his words, "This do in remembrance of me." Bless us, O God, as we partake of this holy meal, and bless it to our continued service. Amen.
Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Let us drink wine together.
Our scripture lesson today is from the book of Acts. I'll be reading from the second chapter, the first through the fourth verses. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, that first Easter had come and gone. Well, it really wasn't the first Easter, because it wasn't called Easter yet. Jesus' resurrection had come, and he was approaching the consummation of his earthly ministry. The accounts of his resurrection and his appearances afterward were, well, you know, they were sort of dazed and confused. Language fails when the experiences are so far beyond the normal, don't you think? But it was clear when he gave them their marching orders. Remember those orders? Go into the world, teach them, preach, baptize, make disciples. What was the message they were to bring? Be good to one another. Love each other as I have loved you, he told them. And then he told them to wait. Wait until they receive the power to complete their commission. Wait? Wait for how long? As long as it takes. How will we know when, they might have asked. You'll know when. And then he left them. And their waiting began. They had one big church board meeting, and one agenda item on the church board meeting, that was to replace Judas with Matthias. So after the board meeting, they waited some more. About 10 days more. And they waited. And they waited. Well, you've heard me say how much I don't like waiting. I am not a patient person, but I am working on it. But I got, oh man, I hate to admit it to y'all because you will not keep it quiet, but I will. I got impatient again the other day at Starbucks. Okay, I was in a relatively long line waiting to get my morning double tall caramel macchiato. And the line had moved forward except for the car in front of me. And I could see the lady. She was obviously bent over her telephone. She was talking or reading something on the internet. But anyway, her phone had her attention and she wasn't moving. So I waited and I waited. There were no other cars behind me at the moment. And I thought, I will wait. But she was there too long. And finally, I was just going to barely touch my horn. Just barely to get her attention. And I did. And it honked a little louder than I intended. And I saw her head jerk up. And she looked at me in the mirror. And she waved. And she went forward. And that's when my guilt trip started. Oh, why? I didn't need to honk on the horn. She would have gone sooner or later. She would have looked up, but I didn't. And when I got to the Starbucks window, my guilt was even increased because you know what had happened, don't you? Yes, she had paid for my coffee. Oh, man, when will I learn patience? God, give me patience. And the disciples waited some more. On the day of Pentecost, though, came the wind and the fire. Wind and fire have held deep religious symbolism right from the get-go. The wind, the Spirit, remember that word, my favorite Hebrew word, ruach, God's breath. It was the holy wind, the breathing wind of God's Spirit. And fire. Fire was the most important discovery of the early humans, was it not? Everything changed when they had finally domesticated fire. It's fitting then that these two elements would come to symbolize God's Spirit in action. The wind blows where it will. You don't see it, but you see its effects everywhere. The wind can be a gentle, caressing breeze, or it can be a Category 4 hurricane destroying everything in its path. Fire refines and burns out the impurities, does it not? We make things pure in fire. The fire in the Holy of Holies is to send the pleasing aroma of incense up to God. The wind filled the house where they were, and tongues of fire rested on each of them. What was the result of this holy visitation? The result was that they were filled with understanding. And when they preached, everyone within their hearing heard it in her own language. The gift they had been given was understanding. We need to begin to appreciate and celebrate the gift of understanding, those aha moments that come seemingly too seldom, but when they come, everything is changed. So much time has passed since that first Pentecost, that true birth of the church. We were offered God's gift of understanding. But somewhere along the way, we've mislaid it so often. And right now, it is so badly needed in our world. Instead of a spirit of understanding, there is a malevolent spirit of division within our world and among the various peoples of the world. Our call is still the same. Teach, preach, baptize, make disciples, go into the world telling them the good news. We need more than ever to receive the Holy Spirit's power to understand, that same power given to the disciples at Pentecost, so that we can spread that good news that God loves us. Amen. Have a great week. God bless.
Blessing of the Father, gift of grace and love. The promise of the Savior, for power from above. A wondrous gift that's given for confidence and mission. Holy Spirit, you make all things new. Breathe on me now, source of life.